Hello, I'm Dr. Laura Pfeiffer. I'm a naturopathic doctor. Today we're going to talk about inflammation and the menstrual cycle and some interesting research that I've come across and how we can actually start to treat our inflammation and why I look at it as one of my key indicators for evaluating the menstrual cycle. Now, when I'm evaluating patients, I'm using my four-pillar success system. And the fourth pillar, first pillar is digestion and the microbiome. Second pillar is blood sugar balances and nutrient deficiencies. Third pillar is adrenal, so stress, sleep, circadian rhythm, and adrenal function. And the fourth and final pillar is always looking at inflammation. And this is kind of what I want to highlight today and go through and talk about what it actually means to have inflammation. And this is not in like a fancy, you know, trendy way. This is actually looking at inflammation and how it can impact your symptoms. So let's talk about what CRP is, or C-reactive protein. Now, we have a lot of different inflammatory markers, but I'm just focusing on one today. So just keep in mind, there's a lot that we could definitely go through, but this is the one that I am focused. So CRP is known as a marker of baseline inflammation. To put into perspective, individuals who have increased levels of CRP are at an increased risk for diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and so it is a big deal to mark CRP because it is correlated to health outcomes that are pretty severe and pretty serious. Now, overall, if we look at the data and we look at who has increased levels of CRP, we actually see that females have increased levels of CRP. Individuals with elevated or high BMI, body mass index, tend to have elevated levels of CRP. It increases with age and it increases in smokers. Now, interestingly enough, individuals who use oral contraceptives, so hormonal birth control, have increased CRP. So because of the connection between females having higher levels than males typically, and the additional connection between oral contraceptive pills playing a role, this really kind of piqued my interest to look a little bit further into what this connection might mean, and then, you know, what we can actually do about it. So what was interesting in the research, if we kind of go back to our initial thought process when it comes to hormones, I think a lot of people assume that estrogen equals bad. I think we tend to villainize estrogen more than progesterone. We look at progesterone as good and anti-inflammatory and estrogen as bad and maybe even pro-inflammatory. And that's actually not the case. When we look at how our body uses estrogen and progesterone from an endogenous perspective, the estrogen that we actually make is actually really protective and anti-inflammatory. So I want you to keep that in mind as we move through this information. So the interesting thing that I found is when we looked at individuals who took hormones versus individuals who we were measuring their own endogenous hormones, we actually saw a difference in inflammation. And what we found is exogenous hormones. So exogenous hormones are the hormones that we take, things that we get from external. So hormone replacement therapy, oral contraceptives, etc. When we had exogenous hormones, we actually found that exogenous, so birth control, progesterone, was shown to actually reduce levels of CRP. Now, this was actually conflicting because some evidence showed that it didn't matter which type of contraceptive that the person took. With the progesterone, it actually increased CRP all the way through. But there was some research to show that exogenous progesterone reduced inflammatory markers such as CRP. And they found that exogenous estrogen, so something you would take in hormone replacement therapy, actually increased CRP. Now, there was some discussion as to why this happened, because I think if we were to assume, based on the information that we get online, I think we hear a lot about estrogen being, you know, we hear about estrogen dominance and we hear about insulin resistance and we hear about painful periods and acne and, oh, it's probably because of estrogen. And I find a lot of times when patients reach out to me, they're often saying, I think it's my estrogen. My estrogen's too high. I have heavy periods. I have painful periods. I have acne. Maybe it's someone who is in perimenopause or menopause and they say my hot flashes are awful. I think estrogen's the problem. I'm estrogen dominant because I'm not ovulating anymore, right? And well, in some cases that can be the case when it comes to inflammation, like I said, endogenous, our body's own estrogen is actually quite anti-inflammatory. So it was interesting when I looked at it from a hormonal birth control perspective or a hormone replacement perspective, that the estrogen that we take from those perspectives, the synthetic estrogen, actually increases CRP. Now, some of the studies argued that this was because exogenous estrogen that we take may actually not directly influence an elevation of CRP, but actually might make the liver make more CRP, which, I mean, all in all, it still leads to increased CRP, but the mechanism was kind of unclear there. Now, when we looked at endogenous hormones, the hormones that we actually make in our own body, what we found was endogenous estrogen was super anti-inflammatory and reduced CRP levels, while as endogenous progesterone that we make actually increased CRP. This was really hard to explain in the literature because progesterone we often connect to really anti-inflammatory overall. It has really beneficial effects on the immune system, which overall progesterone tends to have an anti-inflammatory effect. So the connection was confusing, and a lot of the literature kind of came to the same conclusions that they found progesterone was correlated with a little bit more elevated CRP levels, but they didn't really know why. Now, menstruation on its own is naturally a very inflammatory process. Some studies have actually shown that CRP can increase up to 50% more during menses when you're actually bleeding, and it's actually the lowest on the day of ovulation. And so if we actually break down the cycle, we know that the first half of the cycle is the follicular phase. This is where day one is when you bleed, day one is when you bleed again. And so we're actually bleeding, estrogen is going up, we're shedding the lining, and then we're building it back up. Then we get close to ovulation, and this is when the inflammation was the lowest. Then we ovulate, and then we make progesterone. And so the correlation was that CRP actually rose with the increase in progesterone post-ovulation, which is it's a unique finding that doesn't really make a whole ton of sense. Now, like I said, menstruation is inflammatory, so you're going to see a little bit of an increase at a highest level of CRP during the time you're actually bleeding. Now, some of the research actually concluded that it could have to do with when we compare exogenous versus endogenous hormones, when we say the ones we take versus the ones we make, the conclusion was that it could be that lower levels of the hormones, estrogen, let's say, for example, lower levels actually helped reduce inflammation, but the higher levels that we get from the exogenous or the synthetic hormones is actually too high and almost tips the scale with inflammation. I think this really drives home the point, though, that it's important to differentiate between whether we're taking hormone replacement therapy or birth controls and our own hormones, because our body does not deal with the synthetic hormones the same way that we actually deal with the hormones we make. The conclusion of a lot of researchers is that at physiological levels, the levels we make, estrogen is anti-inflammatory. And they said that increases in progesterone typical of a normal cycle will actually cause reduced inflammation overall, despite causing a little bit of an increase in CRP. So my conclusion for that is when your hormones are actually balanced and moving appropriately, the changes we see in CRP is pretty much insignificant because estrogen has the capacity to bring it down, progesterone brings it up, menses brings it up a bit, and we end up with it just an overall balanced view. But I do think it makes a big difference if you are taking birth control. So definitely something to consider if whether or not you're taking birth control or hormone replacement therapy as to how that's going to have an impact on things. So how do we correlate this to symptoms? So there is some research on things like menopause symptoms and increased CRP levels equaling worsening symptoms. Specifically, CRP was actually positively associated with painful periods. So if you had an elevated CRP, you were more likely to have painful periods. If we look at things like endometriosis, which typically these individuals have painful periods, we see that correlation with elevated CRP in endometriosis. Similarly, we found with PMS, which I think a lot of people wouldn't necessarily correlate inflammation with PMS, they actually found that elevated CRP increased PMS, so increased all mood, bloating, pain, acne, breast tenderness leading up to the cycle. And in addition to that, higher insulin equals higher CRP. So if we're looking at a condition such as PCOS, which is often driven by insulin, we know that it's probably also driven by inflammation. And so what I did is I looked at some really easy things that can help reduce CRP levels, and I found some research to connect those to some specific conditions. So how do we reduce CRP? Research shows that things like vitamin C, things like green tea, cinnamon, and curcumin can help reduce CRP levels. And that's just a few, that's the tip of the iceberg. We could go on and on about things that can reduce CRP from a diet and lifestyle perspective. I already mentioned that those with a higher BMI have a higher CRP. So weight loss, lowering BMI can help with CRP levels. And then in addition, those who smoke tend to have a higher CRP. So quitting smoking, and then obviously diet and lifestyle is really important as well. But more interestingly, cinnamon, although can also reduce CRP levels, but cinnamon has also been shown to reduce pain, inflammation, and blood sugar. So not only is it going to work on the reducing inflammation, but it's also going to reduce blood sugar, which is helpful in that PCOS inflammation piece. But it can also reduce pain through that inflammatory reduction. And so that can be helpful for things like endometriosis or even painful periods in general. And then in curcumin, they actually did a randomized control trial and they found that curcumin reduced PMS through reducing inflammation. So we know that inflammation plays a role in not only period pain, but the mood symptoms we experience leading up to our period. And so that is why it is one of the pillars and one of the things I address via diet, lifestyle supplements in my patients, whether they are perimenopause, menopause, or cycling with painful periods, PCOS, endometriosis, it is always important to look at inflammation as a root cause and a core treatment piece to your overall puzzle. If you have questions, please comment on this video below. Otherwise, you can download your hormone freebie. And if you have any questions, let me know.